Good morning to you. Merry Christmas. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for being a part of our worship. I'm Pastor Jay Scribner, your interim pastor. And what a wonderful season of the year, huh? Thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you have come. Do us a favor, just reach right out in front of you, and in the pew back you should find a connection card. And so if you'll please get one of those and begin the process of filling that out, that way you can put it in the offering plate later in the service or take it to the connection desk right out front. And we have a gift for our first-time visitors. So thank you so much for being here. Kay and I are really privileged to have our oldest granddaughter, Molly, with us right here. And what a blessing to have her traveling with us. You want to pray for her today, though, please. She's going to be hanging out with Lily Hendershot. Well, we're so glad you're here. Let me call your attention to two or three announcements, please. In your bulletin, look at the item called On Location Praying. We're asking you to do that on January 1. Read those details. It's very simple. And I was explaining to someone the other night, you don't even have to take a shower on that day to do that. You can just get in your car, drive around to different locations, and you've had a bulletin insert for the last couple of weeks, and this is on January the 1st. Just take an hour of your time. Now, here's a new item about that. On the connection table out front, we have some cards for you to take with you when you do the on-location praying. So pick up about, I don't know, 6 to 8 of those is about all you'll have time in an hour's time to get to. Take one of those cards. After you've prayed at that place, just jump out of your car, put that in the door, or just someplace where when people come in the next day, they'll see it, and then get back in your car and go to another location, depending on whatever sector of the city you've chosen. And again, pick up 6 to 8 of those is probably going to be adequate, but they're out on the connection table. And so this would be a great, great way to start the new year. Also, please note that tonight we have our candlelight service. Now, this is in lieu of the Christmas Eve service. We've just moved it ahead a day, and that's tonight at 5 o'clock. It'll last about an hour of worship or just a little less, so plan to come and join us. Invite friends and neighbors and relatives to come with you. That's this evening at 5 o'clock, so that will be a sweet time of worship as well. You have been a real blessing to our staff this year at Christmas time. You'll hear more about that at the end of the service. There's still time if you'd like to bless them, and you can do that through one of the envelopes that's there in the pew. And then this update about our windows, I think we're right at $5,000 is all we need to finish out all the windows here. In our older building, and we've already gotten the money for the stained glass. They've already been ordered for the replacement for the stained glass windows. So thank you again for helping with that and for your generosity. It'd be good to go ahead and get that additional $5,000 by the end of the year if you haven't been able to help with that and would care to. So thanks for your help during this special season. Well, God bless you for being here. Got a great worship time planned. We've asked the wind ensemble to be back with us. We were so blessed last time you performed, and so they're going to do that again today, as you see. And about once a month. Did you all know that? About once a month? Well, now you do. Well, we're excited about that. They are so talented, and we'll hear them here in just a few moments. But let's stand together, find a smile, and tell several people around you Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Let's stand together this morning and sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Let's all stand and sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born.
You can be seated. The choir's going to sing a song. It's a medley of Christmas songs, and we're going to ask you to sing along with us, okay? So you're in the choir today. We have a really big choir this morning. Good job, choir. Let's stand one more time and sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." O come all ye faithful.
Thank you.
before bed. Let's lift it up to the Lord this morning. Good time of year to be thinking about what Jesus did for us,
for his birth and his life.
Expecting child, they searched the end and find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah! The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, our Savior, hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east. To Bethlehem the wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh, you gave and you cried. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man who'd one day die for me and you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, baby Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's stand one more time, if you would, and sing Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Thank you so much. Wonderful worship time this morning. Nancy and choir, thank you. Jean Ann and the Wind Ensemble and Diane just did a wonderful job. God bless you. Thank you. Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Micah. I hope you've been blessed by this mini series here at Christmas time. We've looked at Migdal Eder, the place of his provision and the place of his promise. Today, Migdal Eder, the place of his presence. A father was awakened in the middle of the night by the frightened cries of his little boy, who was having obviously a pretty tough nightmare. The father got out of bed and dashed into his little boy's room and sat down on the edge of his bed and held him in his arms, and the little boy was explaining what had frightened him, and through his sobs, he just snuggled up pretty closely to his dad. His dad held him for quite a while and then said, You're going to be all right. I'm going to go back to bed, and you can go back to sleep, but just remember that God will be right here with you. And when he said that, the little boy just moved in a little closer and a little tighter to his daddy, and he said, okay, but I'd really like to have a God with skin on. That's what we've got. We've got a God with skin on. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time, at this season of the year. That's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. This God that is going to be with us through the night and through the day. This God with skin on. Well, let's read this verse one more time. We're in Micah chapter 4. We're at Migdal Eder, and today it's the place of his presence. Verse 8 says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Take your listening sheet and get a pen or pencil ready. And let me give you these three things about Migdal Eder being the place of his presence. Number one, the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord. Christmas has become the time of giving gifts, giving presents. But in fact, the greatest gift of all time is the fact of God giving us his presence. Now spell that right. You see, on that first Christmas day when God himself came to earth in human form, when he put skin on in order to come and be with us, we call this the incarnation. That's God coming in the flesh, and it's important to grasp that, the incarnation of God. God himself coming in the flesh. Now make no mistake about the fact that when Jesus was born at Migdal Eder in Bethlehem, that this is indeed God himself. I know it's a little baby. I know that when he arrived, he came as an infant. But make no mistake about it, that this is God himself who stepped out of heaven into earth. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. Say those last two words there with me. With us. Now personalize it. This is God with me. With me. It's vital that we understand that we grasp that. You see, this is deity. This is God coming out of heaven into earth in human form, but no less God in nature, essence, attributes, character, conduct, and content. Now, this little verse of prophecy, and I told you 3 weeks ago when we introduced this for the first time, that this is a very obscure verse of prophecy, but this little verse of prophecy says it very clearly. Now, look at it again in verse 8 of Micah chapter 4. He says, unto thee shall he come. He is recognized as the first dominion. I'm going to explain that here in just a moment. The first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. So who is this one that shall come? Well, he's recognized as the first dominion. Say those three words with me, please. The first dominion. This is a name of majesty. It is a name of sovereignty. It means the demonstration of the imperial presence of God. There should be no question in our mind who this is that is being born at the Tower of the Flock. The demonstration of the imperial presence of God. It means the one who has sole rulership, the one who has supreme kingship. It speaks of dignity and power. It speaks of one who reigns. It speaks of superior power, of superior authority, of superior dominion. It speaks of government and power and imperial presence and kingship and lordship and governorship. This literally means the first or chief dominion. This would be one with a dominion or a power that would far surpass all other kingdoms in extent and duration and magnitude and impact and purpose and jurisdiction. Listen, if you were looking for a place to say what Diane Edwards sung about a while ago, this would be the time to spit that word out of your mouth. Now, I know that's hard for Baptist, but if you're looking for, I'm hearing it. I'm beginning to hear it. If you're looking for a place to say hallelujah, this would be the place. All right, come on. That's it. That's it. The first dominion. Now, is this not consistent with what the prophet Isaiah predicted regarding this messiahship of Jesus? Let's look at this in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, here it is. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And we sit around and debate whether or not we ought to be Democrat or Republican. I think I'd like to belong to his government. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. That's a little different than our legal system in the United States, by the way. It's going to be totally consistent with judgment and justice from that time forth, even forever. You reckon he's going to be able to pull that off? Look at that. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, because of man's sin, we are separated from a holy God. There is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to establish a right relationship with God. We cannot pay the sin penalty ourselves. We cannot earn it. We cannot justify it. We cannot merit it. or achieve a right relationship with God through anything that we can do in and of ourselves. We are simply sinners in need of a Savior. Now, that is the tremendous good news of Christmas, my friend. Not that God sent a soldier. That wasn't what was going to do it for you and me and for our sin-sick world. He didn't send a judge. He didn't send a reformer. He didn't send a philosopher. He didn't send a religionist. He didn't send a humanitarian. He didn't send a politician. He didn't send a psychiatrist. He didn't send a preacher. He didn't send a committee. But he came himself as the sovereign Lord to be the Savior to meet man's greatest need. Give him applause and say hallelujah again. Here's number two today. The spotless lamb. The spotless lamb. Jesus was born at Migdal Eder, at a place where lambs were born and raised for the temple sacrifices. Now, the Bible's very clear regarding not only the Jewish traditions of the sacrificial system, but the Bible's very explicit regarding the type of animals that were to be used as sacrifices. Temple ritual would have required the birthing place for these lambs to be ceremonially clean. Understand this, because it's going to answer some questions for us. Was Jesus, in fact, laid in a dirty, dingy stable along with several other animals? That's what our Christmas carols depict. That's certainly what our Christmas cards show. But temple ritual would have required the birthing place for these animals to be ceremonially clean. So a lamb used for sacrifice would likely not be born in a dirty environment, as we would think of a stable with our Western mindset. Now follow this, because I'm going to share something very exciting here in just a few moments. Now, according to historic writings, underneath the watchtower itself was a cave-like lower portion. This is where the ewes would be taken to be protected and cared for while they delivered their newborn lambs. And when the new babies arrived, they were wrapped in swaddling cloths, as I shared with you last week, after Nancy had done such a masterful job of singing the song, Precious Blood. So the lambs would be wrapped in swaddling cloths in order to not only keep them clean, but to keep them unblemished. Because again, Jewish law required a certain type of animal, and to keep them from blemishing themselves. And then at some point, they would be examined by a priest to ensure they were fit for use as a sacrifice. Now, get ready to write down some scriptures that you can do some study on your own. And I'm going to give you a lot of them. And so let's just rattle through these. But let's look at these scriptures. We start with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Okay, let's just rattle through these. John chapter 1, verse 29. Jot these down. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Isaiah 53:12. "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Hebrews 9:28. "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." 1 John 3, verse 5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." Revelation 15:3, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints.'" Revelation 21:22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." Romans 8:3, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." And finally, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Do some study on your own, but we see that Jesus is in fact the Lamb of God. Kay and I have a dear friend who lives in Glen Rose, Texas, Dr. Carl Baugh. He is a creation scientist, an extremely intelligent man, and we've had him in our home. We've had him in Branson three or four times doing some teaching with our church there. Kay and I have had the privilege of going on a couple of archaeological digs with him, including an archaeological dig where we unearthed the femur of a dinosaur in western Colorado, a femur that was just right at my height, one bone right at my height, weighed about 800 pounds. Dr. Carl Baugh, in one of his trips in recent years in Israel, managed to get authority from the Ministry of Antiquities in Israel so that he could go into the birthing room at Migdal Eder. I told you that we're making some plans to go in about a year to Israel. And I don't mind telling you, if I had a bucket list, this would be on it. It is to go to the birthing room at Migdal Eder, where Christ was born. And Dr. Ball tells me that it was breathtaking to think that you were standing at the very place of the incarnation. This is God. This is God with me. This is the place where the very Lamb of God was born. A place where lambs were born for only one reason. For only one reason. Born to die. Born to ultimately be a sacrifice at the nearby temple. This is the place where Jesus was wrapped in strips of cloth, clean, pure birthing cloths. So that they might be protected, so that there would be no blemishes, so that they would be a spotless lamb. To be sacrificed. Jesus would have been born in the examination room, where lambs were born, wrapped in swaddling cloths, a sterile environment, a spotless area. And so when the angel said to the shepherds, "This is the sign." We talked about this last week. This is the sign. This is what you've been waiting on for centuries, seven of them. This is the sign. What was the sign? You remember from Isaiah and you remember from Matthew chapter 1? What was the sign? The sign was that a virgin would conceive. That was it. Is that not miraculous? This would be the sign. And the angel said, "This is the sign to you." Now, you want to go see this baby? This is God with us. You want to go see him? Well, you'll find him wrapped in and lying in a manger. They knew. They knew where to go. There's only one place. They went to the birthing room. They went to the examination room. They knew where to go. And so they went with haste. And the Bible says, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. It's logical that God would choose Migdal Eder as the place where his son, the Lamb of God, would be born in order to someday be the spotless, sinless, substitutionary, sacrificial lamb to die on behalf of mankind, to die for you and to die for me. Let me give you the final thing today. The sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial lamb. Listen real carefully. Migdal Eder was a place where sheep and lambs were raised and for sacrificial slaughter at the nearby temple. Jesus was born at Migdal Eder. Now, it is so much like God to make everything in explicit detail according to God's plan of redemptive grace, not leaving anything undone. Now, over the last 3 weeks, you've seen a tremendous overview of the events that took place in and around Migdal Eder on that first Christmas. So let me give you the final consideration. The final consideration concerning the fact that Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, fit in with God's divine plan of redemption. The Messiah, whose birth was announced to these shepherds tending the flocks in and around Migdal Eder, would someday go to the cross of Calvary 33 years later. Let me show you three other passages of Scripture. First of all, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Right, here's the next one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now finally, Luke 23. Now it was about the sixth hour. Now in the Jewish structure, their day began at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so about the sixth hour is going to put it at noon. And about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So what time's that? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, having said this, he what? Breathed his last. Now, why have I brought out the point of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's Christmas. We're talking about the birth of Christ. And why would I want to especially go to the Gospel of Luke, who gives us the time of day that all of this happened? Well, I want to suggest to you, with more than just a hint of implication, but rather with explicit biblical clarity, that this Lamb of God, born at Migdal Eder, a place where lambs were born to die, at the ceremonial slaughter at the nearby temple, that rocky steep on the southern slope of Jerusalem. Born at Migdal Eder, just north of Bethlehem, and just south of Jerusalem. 33 years after he was born, he was a spotless lamb, tempted in all points like as we are, but the Bible says yet without sin. And on the day that he died, what time was it? The 3 o'clock afternoon time, the time of the evening sacrifice, was when he died. The Lamb of God had come to die once and for all, so that lambs at Migdal Edar would no longer need to die, and so that sheep such as you and me would no longer have to die. Listen to this.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Then I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy, the people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten that he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and said, "You carry the cross." At first I thought to resist him, then his hand went for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him say, "Father, forgive them." Never have I seen such love in any other eyes. "Into thy hand I commit my spirit," he prayed, and then he died. I stood what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, forgive us." The Lamb ran away. "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand." So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. And I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb."
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for choosing to be with us. And Jesus, how can we say thank you for dying for us, being the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, in order to pay the penalty for our sins. Today we say, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Christians to come and just kneel across the front here just to say thank you, just to worship Him, just to acknowledge who He is and what He did. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'll be right here waiting to counsel with you. But you come now. Come to the altar to do business with God. Let's stand together. Come on.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray.